Hello, and welcome to episode 527 of the League Rundown. This is the LCS playoffs and LEC season finals continued, along with the LEC season finals preview. This episode is lovingly entitled Pink Pony 3-2 Club. That's right, every episode will be named after a Chapel Roan song for the foreseeable future, so go listen to the album and do yourself a service. I'm your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts on this episode. Up first, he's on the loose, we got Mongoose.
Hi, I'm back. I missed last week. It's my bad.
It's okay. Happy to have you on this week. And also, you're playing some volleyball, so you're all, like, tired it out. You're going to be great vibes today, right?
I'm always great vibes.
Did you win your volleyball games?
I won about half of them. So
you know what? About half is not too shabby.
It's exhausting. We played for 3 hours.
Oh, that's a lot of volleyball. Yeah. Somebody who probably has not been playing a lot of volleyball, but you know what he has been doing? He gets paid to talk. It's Hawk.
Yeah. You know, depending on your definition of paid, I do earn some money to talk. Yes, this is true. Good to be back.
How was week two of your new job?
It's going.
It's going. All right. Well, we'll get another update maybe off mics then on how that's
been
looking.
It's been a little stressful.
Okay. You know, all right. Not the job you get paid to talk for, though.
Not the job I pay to talk for, like content directing
and such.
Content directing. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Still think a great role for you, though. Content you make is always banger. But yeah, we got some League of Legends to talk about this week, so let's get right into it. Starting off with Riot Global News. We have a lot of teams that have qualified for the World Championship from multiple different regions because it's that time of the year. Pretty much everybody's in their playoff scenario and starting to lock teams in. Bilibili, the first team from the LPL, has qualified in for a Worlds position. PSG Talent, coming in from PCS. Fnatic and Mad Lions from LEC. A little bit of a spoiler. Although, I guess, technically, we already knew... Did we already know that? No, we didn't know that last week, did we?
No, because G2 had to win.
Yeah.
You're right. Yes, yes. Because of what happened this week in LEC, that confirms it. Fnatic and Mad Lions from the LEC. MDK from the LEC. Team Liquid and FlyQuest from the LCS. And Movistar R7. The last ever representative from the LLA to make it to the world stage. And you can quote me on that. I do not think an LLA team is going to make it to the Northern or Southern Conference in the future of the Americas region. So Movistar's R7, let's see what you got for this year. We don't have the regular LPL and LCK folks on to give us updates there, but we are in playoffs. Everybody go give some love to Mazzell, co-host of the podcast, because he's currently... He might have gotten there already by this point today because he left last night, but he had a long flight over to the Dublin studio where they're broadcasting the LPL finals out of. And give some love because he's going to be on the finals broadcast, helping out with content and doing stuff with the team. So cool to have him over there. And also, we had a couple of awards announced this year. Did we have any LEC awards? I didn't actually see anything come out for like all team, first team all pros and stuff like that.
Well, it's season finals, so I think it's not a real split, right? So there must not be.
Yeah, but they
you're not
going to
have all season finals MVP, I feel like.
They had just done, because there's three splits now, and in the past, I know for winter and spring, they had done the number one player from each team, not like a first, second, third team All-Pro, but just like a, hey, here's like the best players in each position. And I thought that they were going to do a bigger one at the end of the year, but I didn't see anything, so... Who knows? Maybe there is something coming after finals or something, but most likely not at this point. But we do have LCS awards to talk about. Coaching staff of the split, Team Liquid. Spawn and friends over there. Hawk, this was, an obvious one when you look at how well the teams looked and how seamlessly Spawn has come into Team Liquid to be head coach.
Yeah, Spawn is the GOAT. I mean, honestly, like he has been amazing. For Team Liquid, I don't really think there's much argument there at all. Absolutely deserved. Really happy for him. Like what he did with Team Liquid Challengers as well, getting promoted. Like his entire journey has been very, very impressive.
Yeah, the I've said this before on podcasts. I've said it on this podcast. I believe I've even said it on like Hotline League and other areas publicly, but I'll say it again. Spahn, I think, is the closest that we have to an LCS coach that can work with our players, kind of similar to how an LCK coach works with LCK teams in Korea, where he controls the team. It is not the team that controls him. Most coaches bend to the will of the players and have a lot of difficulty controlling the players. I do not think Spahn has that issue. I don't think he has to control the players very much, because when you have players like Impact and Core JJ that have been in the game
apparently
for so long,
he has to control the players to the point because they grind too hard. He has to say, hey, guys, live your damn lives.
Yeah. But he's just got that mentality to like also work with the younger players like APA, Jan, who he would also coached on the academy team. So cool to see Team Liquid pick that up, but the accolades do not stop there, because Mongoose, APA, picked up most improved player, and honestly I don't think that there was like a clear competitor for that. Like, this guy has just looked so much better this summer than even like the beginning of the year, especially last year at Worlds.
Yeah, I think he's just like has a confidence that no one in NA really else has. Like, everyone else has either gotten worse from last year, or anytime they play against APA, they just can't handle his like talking all game. And the, yeah, everyone who tries to match it, just like they come crumbling down eventually. So, and I also think it's really helpful for him to be on this roster with Impact and Core JJ and Umpty also coming over. So a lot of those like veterans kind of help lifting him up and making his play a lot better.
Yeah. I think it was the mustache that he was rocking for all the media day, the asset day, which funnily enough, week one of LCS, he shaved it. And everybody that was working in production was like, what the hell, APA? Like, why did you have a mustache for all the photos? But it sends a message, you know, it really gives off that Yappa energy. But the accolades continue for Team Liquid, because All Pro also announced, and they almost swept first team. So here you go, your first team. Actually, let's start from the bottom. Let's go bottom up, in case anybody at home has not heard these yet. Third team All Pro: Bwipo, Umpty, Quad, Masu, Busio. So basically FlyQuest with Umpty from Team Liquid. Second team All Pro: Thanatos, Inspired, JoJoPyeon, Berserker Vulcan, so C9 with Inspired, FlyQuest's jungler. And first team All Pro: Impact, Blabber, APA, Jan, and Core JJ. So Team Liquid with Blabber in the jungle. So basically, it was just first, second, third place teams with junglers swapped around for variety and to keep things spicy. Thoughts on All Pro, Hawk? Let's start with you. Do you think that anybody was snubbed, or do you relatively agree with the list?
Only arguable snub is Umpty, but I do believe that is slightly overplayed as well, because Blabber was incredibly important to C9's success. I do think he was their best player. So for that reason, I don't mind it at all. And yeah, I think Blabber had a great split, and I mean, you know, Umpty still had a great split as well. It sucks that he didn't win, but I don't think he can be like too upset about it necessarily either.
Yeah. Notable first ever first team All Pro for APA and Jan. So that's really cool for both of them. This is Core JJ's 7th. And I did the math. I believe I have the correct number. Does anybody else want to guess how many splits total has Core JJ played LCS? That he's eligible even to get All Pro. Does anybody have the number? I have.
Well, he's came into 2018.
So just throw something out there. Throw something out there. Have fun.
It must
okay.
Be.
Sorry,
must
not including the 80 carries.
18, 19,
I'm gonna guess
20, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's, he spent 6 years here. I'm going to go 12 splits.
I think this is his 13th. I believe this is his 13th ever that he could qualify for.
For support.
For support. I might be off, but either way, he's gotten first team All-Pro 7 times out of either 12 or 13, whatever the correct number is. That is over half of the eligible ones. He has not just been All-Pro top 3, but first place. That is insane.
He is indeed kind of the GOAT.
Yeah, I hate to say it,
for the support position, yes.
The support position in North America is not super deep. I think we see a lot of rookies, and we also see a lot of imports that come in, and Core JJ is just like the staple now.
Yeah, I think that the only people that could have given competition in the past would have been like historically Aframu, smoothie, even going further back to like Lemon Nation or Biofrost, but like all those players had bad fall offs. Like they had peaks that they hit, but then they fell off pretty hard. And Core JJ just has not done that yet. So props to Core JJ. In fact, also pretty much unanimously first team all pro. Actually, I think he was unanimous first team all pro top. I'm pretty sure he swept like every vote.
He did.
So
which is not surprising.
Yeah, expecting
also kind of just the GOAT.
Yeah, a little bit GOAT status there. Yep, that's it for the awards. No roster news. So that catches us up from the global news, so we can start talking about the leagues and what happened in LEC and LCS. But before then, a reminder for everybody, you can check out our community Discord in the link in the description wherever you are listening to this podcast episode if you want to join the conversation about what's going on in the leagues that we cover, as well as all the leagues. We have channels for LPL, LCK, all that stuff too, even though the podcast proper is dedicated to LEC and LCS. But we also have a new merch store. If you want to help support the podcast, league-rundown-shop.forthwall.com. Proceeds will go towards our audio editor, Ian, alongside a pool of money that we're going to be doing some fun off-season stuff with. So if you want to grab some merch, it will help support directly the podcast when not a lot of stuff's going on in the off-season. So we can hopefully put together some fun content for y'all. Yeah, that's going to catch us up. Now let's get into the happenings of this last weekend. I believe last week we started with LEC, so this week we are going to start with LCS. We had the loser's bracket play out with a first best of five down there, alongside two matches in the upper bracket with Team Liquid versus 100 Thieves and C9 versus Flyco. So we had three best of fives this past weekend. Dignitas versus 100 Thieves in the lower bracket started us off with the weekend, which meant that we already said goodbye to one of the teams potentially, definitely for the rest of the year, and a reminder, potentially forever. We do not know which teams are going to make it into whatever the North American Conference looks like next year. So there is, I mean, cheer for your teams while you got them, everybody. Cheer for these players while you got them, because nobody knows what is going to happen. And Dignitas did take the series, even NRG, with a loser's interview contract. Very emotional in the interview. We'll talk about that later, about the uncertainty of the future. But first off, this series, Dignitas with the 3-2. Now, Mongoose, actually, I'm going to throw this one over to you. Dignitas versus NRG. How are you feeling about the close series? Because this one did go the distance, and man, was it a sloppy series between both these teams.
I feel really bad for Contracts. He was just trying so hard throughout this whole series, and it felt like he was dragging like four dead bodies behind him through this whole series trying. But it was just not a good look for either team. None of these games sparked joy. It was just either really just one-sided, or it was very sloppy back and forth throughout all the games. And eventually the games just went late enough to where the team who had better scaling usually won, except for kind of the last game. It's a little arguable. But games 3 and 4, it was just kind of like, okay, we have the better scaling champs, so we just kind of win now, is sort of how it felt.
Yeah, I think that what this, Hawk, I'll let you hop in with your thoughts as well, but I feel like with this one, it in a way showed the lack of NRG's ability to fully pivot to the new meta. They keep trying to do things that had worked from the past, but just don't feel like they're working right now. Like, they're playing the Jace in the mid lane. They're playing like Poppy multiple times in top lane, which sometimes can work in certain matchups, but like when you're leaving Lilia up, like Poppy doesn't really do much against that. Like, it's just, it felt like they didn't have a clear understanding of how they wanted to play the game, and they didn't have the coordination to pull off what they were attempting. But I wonder what your thoughts are.
I really did just feel like that series epitomized NRG season, you know, where they just are good players, but for whatever reason, they never once found their groove this entire year. And it was hard to watch. But, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of just the way the cookie crumbled for them. I honestly don't have much to say about them, just because, like, they tried. They tried, man. They really did try. But
yeah. I mean, Contrax had a pretty decent series. I think Palafox was having a great series until game four, that Azir in mid lane where he almost threw the entire series and their season. But then the rest of the team were able to clean up a fight with a Smolder front to back. But that was a big moment for Palafox. Is like even the broadcast like building him up, like he's doing pretty well, and then he almost just throws everything because this was a literally dig win, then energy win, dig win, energy win, dig win. So back and forth series could have been a 3-1, but because of energy's ability to scale in that
the
game,
end
four,
of game
they did
five
actually
was
win
also
it
really sad.
That dude, team fight,
the Doakless Kennen ultimate, man.
It's so funny sad too. I feel like a lot of people were kind of overblowing it. Like, if I'm being honest, it was such a like, oh, that's unlucky. They cooked it, but like it happens. You know what I mean?
They were both looking for the same thing right in the fight, and both saw it at the same time and
it
hit
just
their button.
It was like I would consider that unlucky, less so than a misplay. But the for it to happen in that moment is definitely like, oh no.
Yeah, and for anybody who didn't catch it, just a reminder, Bard can sometimes de-synergize with your own team, and when everybody's trying to engage at the same time and find people out of position and make the hero play, sometimes things do not layer correctly. And energy was definitely, I mean, it was a tough series emotionally for them. You have to imagine, like, Contrax, again, I talked about the interview at the beginning, so we can talk about it now. And even, like, in the game, he's got, like, a Bjergsen side-eye moment. Does anybody remember when Bjergsen, when it was COVID, like, yes, remote play, and he, like, looks over at Doublelift after Doublelift just has a stupid int play into Haunter's Mordekaiser?
Yeah.
Contrax had a very similar look at Dokla after that play where he's just like, oh my god, and just like looks over to his right and it's broadcast caught it and he was so tilted. And then they did do a loser's interview. Kobe did it with him. It's always tough to do those as a broadcaster, to really manage the emotions of the player. So oftentimes you just kind of want to let them talk about whatever they want to talk about, and what Contrax wanted to talk about was it was very hard. I don't know if either of you caught it, but I'll just give a summary of it, basically, that he was, you know, obviously sad that they weren't able to bring things together this year, but he basically said, we have no idea what's going to happen next year, nothing certain, I'm just so happy I got to play with this team for 3 years. And, I mean, this was the CLG core that became NRG. They won a championship, changed one player across all 3 years. Because they also swapped out the bot lane with Luger and Poom, that was the original bot lane. But very few changes to the core of the roster over 3 years. And expectation is that we will not see this roster with these five players again. So
I'm really happy we got to see Contrax, though, because I feel like he was just kind of a sub on a lot of teams and only got brought in for certain meta changes or for just, you know, sir, their jungler's not playing well, let's just throw Contrax in and see if his aggressive nature and playstyle can do something. So it was nice to see him actually get to play full splits in the LCS.
I still think that Contrax playing at his best is the best jungler in NA, but he does not play at his best consistently enough.
I disagree with that, but he is very good. I like Contrax a lot.
That's fine. That's fine to disagree with. That's my statement. He just has such, when his brain is working correctly, when he's in the flow state, he knows exactly where the enemy jungle is. We saw it even in game two. He's just completely predicting everywhere that Spica was going to be on the Rift, and I think just kind of out jungled him in the early game. But he just isn't able to do that every game. And it's a hard ask to say, hey, can you do this every game? But when he's on, he's on. But we will not be able to see him for the rest of the year because Dignitas did take it. It was a close series, 3-2, but they took it nonetheless. That was our first best of five of the weekend. Up next on Saturday, we had Team Liquid versus FlyQuest. Now, I actually... Team Liquid versus 100 Thieves, not FlyQuest. I'm reading the wrong thing. That is this coming weekend. Team Liquid versus 100 Thieves. And, we all predicted a 3-0 on the podcast. And, yeah, we were all right. It was a 3-0 very fast series. This is the only one I made it to live over the weekend, and I'm still happy I did because I still predicted it was going to be a fun series. Hawk, I think it was still a pretty fun series. It was a bit of a blowout, but early game, at least, it felt like 100 Thieves were fighting back, but goddamn, did Sniper get cyber bullied that series. They did not let him chill in these lane swaps.
I would say it was a fun series if you just want to, like, huff all of the hopium for Team Liquid possible. Because okay. They looked really good. And, like, the games felt interesting, I guess, to your point, right? Like there was a chess match going on. But, yeah, I mean, Team Liquid was just so much better at the chess match, man. Like, I don't know what to say. Yeah, if you want to get really hype about Team Liquid, that is, in my opinion, what made that series fun. Because, goddamn, they look really good.
My thoughts on this series basically was that 3/5 of 100 Thieves were able to deal with the lane swaps, and the 2/5 that weren't able to deal with it, that was like a black hole. Maybe even 4/5. You could argue that River was on the same page and helping Hover where he needed to, but Sniper very clearly is not a player comfortable in these lane swap scenarios. He's playing the Jax and the Renekton, and he is playing aggressive in lanes and getting giga punished for it, and he's just not surviving the dives to the extent that players like Impact have shown you can survive them with. Now, I'm not going to say, I don't say that's like a damnation against Sniper, because like he's a very young player. I think he's got a great ceiling and more to develop in his career. This is the first time he's ever played in a lane swap meta. So hopefully he learns from this. But that it was the clear difference, was just the fact that Sniper could not survive in the side lane. And even though everything else was going well, like I actually think Tomo had a pretty good series. I think that Quid had a pretty good series, except for some of the team fights on Smolder. He was mispositioning and getting giga punished for it. But overall, I felt like there was a very clear underperformer here. But I don't even hold it against him just because of how hard it is to play against this iteration of Team Liquid. Mongoose, do you have any thoughts on this one, though?
The meta is just not good for 100 Thieves right now. Like, River is not consistently getting the champs that we've seen him pop off on. And he's not really able to have as much control over the game in the similar way that he used to with a lot of the champs that he would play. And then the role swap or the lane swap is just, it's tough. So it's hard to watch this team because I really like River, as a lot of people know. And then we were also really excited for Sniper. We kind of got a little teaser in the beginning split. Of how good he can be and how good he will be. I think he's just going to keep getting better and better. So I'm excited to see him next year. I know he's going to find a team, even if it's not with 100 Thieves. Mm-hmm. But they're still in, so I'm excited. I'm still excited to watch them. It was just, this series was very hard to watch as someone who wanted to see 100 Thieves at least put up, you know, a game.
Yeah.
But for NA, it's exciting because TL does look like one of the best teams that we're going to be sending to Worlds all time. So I think it's exciting in that fashion.
Yep. Just don't get too excited, because we know what happens when our hope meter gets too high, going to international events. But I do agree that they are looking like one of the best regular season performing teams that we've ever sent, to the World Championship stage. Yeah, I guess final thoughts on 100 Thieves. I'm just sad that Sniper did not get a split of actually lane phasing against Impact.
He got the Riven game.
True, but I wish that like the meta, he had just had the ability to get some more reps in a traditional lane, but also hopefully he's able to learn from this lane swap meta and grow maybe even quicker than he would have otherwise as a top lane player. Everything that I've heard about him as a player from people on the team that I've talked to is very promising, that he's a player that takes it very seriously and is not like a cocky young guy. He's more like, I mean, he's got an ego because you kind of have to be that good at the game, but it's not like a,
he's fairly humble.
Oh, I know more, or I'm better than you kind of ego. It's like, I know how good I am, but I know when to learn, like when it's time to buckle down. So yeah, hopefully they can turn things around, because they have another lower bracket match, or rather their first lower bracket match coming up. But before we get into that, the final match of this past weekend, and probably the most, I guess, high-level league from both teams. I don't even know if we want to say that, just because of how crushing some of the team fights were from one side, but C9 versus FlyQuest did in fact happen. Was not a 3-0, even though probably should have been based on how game one went. That was absurd, but it was a 3-1 for FlyQuest. They were able to actually take down C9 after dropping to them in the regular season. Hawk, was this a surprise for you? Because a lot of us had C9, but you're the one that had FlyQuest 3-2. Is this how you saw it happening no, from your predictions last week?
Not at all. Dude, C9 looked terrible. Like, yeah. What the fuck were they doing? It's exactly like Spring Split, where it feels like they just kind of lost. You know, like, I don't really understand what they thought their road to winning that series was. But their draft philosophy, I felt like, was just suboptimal. I thought JoJo had a terrible series and keeps... He plays like he's Faker, except he's fucking Poby. Like, I will say, I thought JoJo had, like, an egregiously bad series. Like, he should be embarrassed for how he played that series. That was pretty unacceptable from, I think, the level of play that he's expected, level of player that I feel that he is expected to be.
4 quirky games in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not good. And then yeah, you got, like, the bot lane played okay, Blabber played okay. I thought, for what it's worth, Thanatos was good, but
4 Kasante games.
4 Kasante games, but they were good the Kasante draft, games.
C9 almost ran back the top half of the map all 4 games. The only difference is in a Amumu jungle instead of a Lilia jungle one of the times.
Amumu jungle. Oh my god.
The Amumu jungle, man. That but yeah, so their draft evil, philosophy, man. It really felt like they were confident in what they wanted to play and how they thought it would work out, and it just never worked out that way. Even like Berserker played out Ziggs for the first time in Tier 1. He had played it in like a Challengers game in Korea. In LCK Challengers, but then pulling out the Ziggs and did not look very good on it, I must say. My read of the situation is that C9 is very bad at setting up fights against teams that are good at fighting. I think FlyQuest is a team that plays team fights well together. I think a big part of it is that Inspired is actually a fantastic team fight jungler, where his weakness is that a lot of people give him flack for is he's a low impact early game jungler. He likes to just power farm, but when he's ready for a play, he usually delivers on the play. Like, that's where Inspired's strength is when it's time to actually, like, go for the objective or try and go for the team fight. And I just did not see C9 get the proper setups. Game 1, I think, is the only one where they had good fights. Their base defense was very solid, and they also had an early game lead. But then games 2, 3, and 4, it was just consistently. Look at where they die on the map. Look at where they lose their gold advantages. It's Dragon, and it's Herald, and it's Baron every single time. And they just are late to the setup, and they get bullied off of the objectives from an Ivern Daisy, and they all panic as soon as the Daisy runs at them, and then they lose. And it's like, oh, shit, okay. C9 are bad at team fights, I guess.
You just cannot convince me that, like, C9 enjoys playing the game with one another and believes that they actually, like, have problems that they can fix. You just can't convince me of that. Watching a series like that, it's the definition of insanity, right? Like, trying the same thing over and over until you get a different result. That's how I feel watching Cloud9.
I think that they need to, next year, break up JoJo and Blabber.
Yeah, they
based
suck
on
together.
Yeah. Performances this year, you keep Blabber. I know I had earlier in the year.
Blabber's the GOAT jungler of NA. You can't get rid of him. You're stupid if you do. The only argument for getting rid of Blabber is, like, change of pace, you know?
Well, so that was basically not exactly my argument, but the point I brought up earlier in the year was, like, I think there is an argument that you pick JoJo. If JoJo has a really good year, but it doesn't work out between the two of them, I might actually choose JoJo over Blabber, because a player like JoJo in the mid lane, I think, is going to be way harder to replace than a player like Blabber in the jungle. NA has just a bigger jungle champ or jungle player pool than mid lane. But after Summer Split, no, you keep Blabber. I do not think you invest in further stocks into JoJo.
It's kind of crazy because a lot of accounts that I've heard are that, like, JoJo is very lazy.
Yep.
And he should be really embarrassed for his performance, is all I'm going to say. For how much hype surrounded him and how much, honestly, I believe that he has thrown it away. It's tough.
Last year, going into summer finals, there were conversations, nothing confirmed, nothing locked in, but conversations. Actually, no, sorry, this was 2 years ago. This was Chicago Finals. Remember when we did the 10-year anniversary and we brought in like all the best players, like the top 10 LCS players? On broadcast, they talked about the fact that players like JoJo are probably going to be in these conversations in the future if they maintain their trajectory. And 2 years later, has not done that, and it is disappointing to see. So hopefully he can turn it around, but it has not looked like it so far. Does still have another life in the lower bracket, so you never know. Could still make Worlds, could still make a run, but it's not looking great right now. But that is last week. Any final thoughts on the games from last week that we didn't cover, or are we ready to get into predictions? Sweet.
Oh, I gotta put my predictions in.
Seen visually in the audio medium, some shaking heads. So let's go on to next weekend. We have three more best of fives. And that means that we will not actually have our finals for LCS yet. LEC finals are going to be wrapping up this next weekend, but LCS, you have to wait another weekend after. This is going to be round two of the lower bracket, round three of the lower bracket, along with the upper bracket finals. So let's start off with the first lower bracket match, 100 Thieves versus Dignitas. Now, I have 100 Thieves 3-0, and I will say, I've been the biggest Dignitas believer on the entire cast all summer split. Big Dig season, baby. Big Dig energy. And they beat Energy, and that was the only team that they could beat in the playoffs, and now they're going to bomb out. Bickle has a 3-1. He did throw his predictions in there. Mongoose, you got a 3-0. Hawk, you got a 3-2. All right, Hawk, why do you think 3-2? You think that Dignitas is good for two games?
Yeah, I mostly also just think that, honestly, like, they played each other once, and 100 Thieves swept them, and it was surprising. Now, Dig, they had their wake-up call. They just dusted themselves off, won a grinder against NRG. 100 Thieves is coming off a tough loss. I think both these teams are going to be really juiced for this game, and as a result, it will not be as one-sided. Regardless of, like it's honestly, like, mostly a mental thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I just refuse to believe that Dig is going to get swept out by 100 Thieves for the second time when they're this, like, veteran, you know?
I would love to believe that, but I personally think that Dignitas is not going to be able to do the lane swaps nearly as well as Team Liquid was, if they even attempt them, because they really haven't shown that they want to do lane swaps that much. And if you don't lane swap against this 100 Thieves roster and you let them actually have their laning phases, I think that they are a very good team and very scary team. And just better than the Dignitas players, despite the veterancy of the Dignitas members. I think that 100 Thieves have shown more spirit and more mechanical skill throughout the summer split. Mongoose, what are your thoughts? A quick 3-0?
Yeah, quick 3-0. I think 100 Thieves is just better. I think after the series with TL, it's just kind of be more of a wake-up call to them than Dignitas. And Dignitas, from what we saw in the NRG series, just was bad. So I think 100 Thieves is going to be able to beat them and just team fights. Like, honestly, just even team fights. I don't even think the early game is going to matter as much as it did against TL, where TL will just completely run over the map. I think it's not going to matter against Dig. It's going to come down to team fights, and I think 100 Thieves is just better at team fighting.
Okay. Well, that's our thoughts on the first match. That brings us to our second match. It's a little interesting how they're doing the schedule, but I guess it's to give more time for the lower bracket gauntlet, as they have kind of coined it. I know it's not a true gauntlet like it happened in the past. It's just a lower bracket, basically. But the second series of the weekend will be Team Liquid versus FlyQuest, the upper bracket finals. Team Liquid have looked dominant so far. Perfect season, dropping a couple games, but no series, and yet to drop a series here in playoffs, and their first one. Yet to drop a game in playoffs, technically. I have them dropping one. I got a 3-1, but both of you have 3-0s. Hawk, do you really think that Team Liquid is just that much better than FlyQuest that they don't drop a single game?
I still think FlyQuest sucks. I just think that Cloud9 sucks more. I think FlyQuest has major issues with how they approach their mid-game that Team Liquid will not let them get away with like Cloud9 did.
I'm trying to remember, did they drop a game to FlyQuest in the regular season? I mean, I'm actually looking it up right now. Yes, it was a 2-1 win for Team Liquid against FlyQuest in week one. That was their first opponents. Week one's tough to really put much stock into that, but theoretically, FlyQuest can still do it. I have some faith in them. But I think we all agree it's Team Liquid going to the finals. They should win the series, no problem. Which brings us, actually, you know what? I'm gonna challenge this. I'm gonna challenge myself. How does FlyQuest actually pick up a game? Bwepo is not gonna play Renekton, and the other three games he will, and they'll lose. So there we go. That's simple, easy challenge. Self five.
FlyQuest drafting has not been. I mean, the last game against. Against C9, their draft was really, really smart, especially the Jarvan pick, because then it forced the ADC onto something more mobile and then forced their bot lane into a winning matchup as opposed to a losing matchup. So I think the draft, just one game off draft, TL's not ready for it, and they just beat them in draft and then have a better draft and win off of that.
See, the thing about TL is even if you get like a winning bot lane, they're just gonna lane swap on you. Like they're just gonna get their bot lane away from your lane. We'll see. Hawk, it sounded like you wanted to hop in with something. Did you have a point there for the how FlyQuest could pick up a game?
Yeah, I think they're good enough mechanically where they can actually team fight against Team Liquid. So if they can get there on even footing, they can definitely take a game. However, I don't think they will get there because Team Liquid is just a better team across the board at like basically every other aspect of the game. So
sure.
That's where I'm at.
Masu versus Yon. Hype matchup in the bot lane, though. All right, well, that brings us to our last series of the weekend. C9 versus the winner of Dignitas versus 100 Thieves. We all had 100 Thieves taking it, so we're just assuming it's C9 versus 100. And as such, we actually have some interesting predictions. Bickle, who's not on the pod right now for this episode, predicted C9 3-0. I predicted C9 3-1. Hawk predicted C9 3-2. Mongoose predicted 100 Thieves 3-2. We literally have the stack from, like, it's definitely C9 leading, but, like, every step along the potential outcomes we have filled up until 100 Thieves with a 3-2. Hawk, I want to hear from you first, because you think a close series, but still C9 taking it.
Yeah, I'm honestly like, why do I feel this way? I think Cloud9 is still the better team. I think their players are significantly better. I don't think that this is 100 Thieves split to make that run. They might get there, but it's not this split. However, I think that they're young and scrappy, and they are good enough to exploit Cloud9's problems with how they play together. Like, River and Quid alone against Blabber and JoJo can get leads. And if you can get leads over at Blabber and JoJo, you can win games against Cloud9.
Okay, cool. I'll give my thoughts before we get Mongoose's eventual River Cope. I think that C9 are still just better players individually, even if some of them are having a rough season and their team cohesion isn't always there. I think that every lane should be better than their lane counterparts. Should be. Doesn't mean it's going to be, but on paper, I think that they should be. But I could see a world where 100 Thieves win this series and knock C9 out of world's contention, which would be JoJo's, fourth international event missing? That's two MSIs and two worlds that he would not be participating in? That is crazy that JoJo, the guy who we all had so much faith in and hype in after the 2022 worlds, would just kind of bomb out after that. But Mongoose, you think that's the future for us. Why do you think 100 Thieves 3-2? Is it just River Cope?
C9's been looking real spotty, and I think 100 Thieves is going to have a lot more practice coming into this. It is just a lot River Cope, I will agree. But we saw Jarvan in the LCS. We saw him in a game. He could come back. River could just slam Jarvan in all of these games. And for whatever reason, it's not banned, and Jarvan just takes over. There you go.
That would be crazy. What a world. What a world that would be. That's LCS weekend predictions. Let us know if you agree or disagree in our community Discord. But that leaves one more thing to do with LCS before we hop over the pond, and that is to eulogize the team that we will not see for the rest of the year in NRG. I'll take this one. Because NRG, even though the org itself does not really hold a place close in my heart by any stretch, the roster does. They are the remnants of CLG. still have faith CLG could come back, but for now it was just kind of cheering on the players that had been on the org at one point or another, and Energy still had that momentum coming in. That was CLG's championship in summer. I still believe that. But Energy just were never able to achieve that same peak. And this roster, if you look at historical context, they were a sixth to fourth place finishing roster consistently over the 3 years that they were together. They peaked that one time where they won LCS, but every other time, regular season, would be like finishing seventh through fourth, and then playoffs was finishing sixth through fourth. So they really are kind of around the same level, but this is definitely a low because this is a seventh place finish essentially for them. Had hopes for them going forward, but it's a tough league. Things get more competitive when you drop the number of teams from 10 to 8, and hopefully we still see some of these players going into next year, specifically contracts. Palafox are two that I would really love to have starting roster positions going into whatever next year's format looks like. RIP Energy. So, with that said, that means it is time to hop over the pond. LEC is about to wrap up their season finals. That's right. They had winter split, spring split, summer split, and now we're into the season finals tournament to determine who's going to Worlds, and we now know the three LEC representatives at Worlds. Let's talk about how we got there. There were two best of five series that happened this past weekend. Up first was MDK versus Fnatic in the upper bracket finals, and oh boy, did we have a lot of faith in Fnatic last week. And technically we were right that they did win the series, but it was a closer one
than I
think
we'd given. Way too much of a banger, man. Way too much of a banger.
MDK credit for. All right, Hawk, to start us off then, what do you think about MDK versus Fnatic and how this best of five shaped out?
Dude, I mean, you can't resist the Mad Lions or MDK late season bullshit surge. Like, I really don't know what else to say. Also, like, they all played well individually, which is not something that we've really been able to say about them in a long time. Supa had a really good series for the most part up against Noah in June. You know, a couple like tough games here and there, but also some really, really good ones. And Fnatic kind of looked like shit. Razorik probably had his worst series that we've seen from him in a while. You know, when Fnatic was really good, Razorik was popping off, and I don't think we really got to see that this past series. Oscar also struggled a little bit as well. So, but yeah, Mad really had to go to the distance. And I mean, Fnatic, you know, they can't play a normal series anyway. Like, none of this should be surprising to anyone.
True, and also Merwin just can't play a normal champion pool.
This
but
too.
The Nidalee top lane coming out thrice
after two games of Cassante. So he started as normal as humanly possible, yep, and then immediately became a weirdo.
And after last week of them drafting it and then being like, "We're never picking Nidalee again."
Yeah,
and then they drafted it three times.
Picked it into a Gnar, picked it into a Cassante, picked it into a Kennen. Actually, some of those might have been blind picks. I actually don't remember how many of them were counter picks, but yeah, that was crazy. We also did see the Amumu also in LEC. It was not just an LCS special. And I'm realizing that I got my order wrong. This was the second game of the weekend, so sorry if anybody was peeved by that. We'll cover the first series after this, but for now, we're still here. So it was a win for MDK, then a loss, then a loss, then a win, then a loss. And yeah, I mean, I think the Fnatic are still the raid bosses of the year so far with how shaky G2 has looked. But I don't know. Mongoose, what do we think? Does this give us concern for Fnatic going into the finals? That, like, would we have felt better about a potential rematch against G2 if they had 3-0'd? Because honestly, I don't know if it changes our perspective of a Fnatic versus G2 no matter what happened in this match.
I don't think it changes anything just because of how bad G2 have looked. Especially since the end of summer, this G2's look terrible. And Fnatic, I mean, big shouts to MDK. I know when the playoffs started, everyone was like, MDK being here is bullshit. Like, they don't deserve, yep, to be here. And now they've come out, smack G2 in the face, smack Fnatic in the face, even though they didn't win. So they're scrapping with the two best teams in Europe. So they definitely deserve to be going to Worlds, I think, even with how bad they looked in summer. They might have just realized, hey, we don't need to try in summer. Let's just save everything for the playoffs and just do a run. But I think their prep has been really good. And I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited. I think it's a lot more exciting now that G2's having to come up through the lower bracket. I think if G2 just won out through the top, everyone would have just been like, well, just another fucking day in Europe for
But they've done esports. It so many times from the lower bracket, though. Fnatic's knocked them into the lower bracket like 3 times over the last couple of years, I swear.
They're inevitable. They always come back. But MDK are going to have a rematch potential against them. Or actually, they will have a rematch against them. We'll cover that later on in our predictions. But for now, I just got to say I'm very excited to see this Mad Lions Koi at Worlds. I think that this team against NA teams... Like, dude, give me this team versus FlyQuest. Give me Merwin playing Lulu
Cloud9
against Cloud9
can
Blippo.
Beat that team.
Yeah, well, okay, I think any of us could, but it's just going to be crazy, dude. Like, the way that they play and the way that they draft is so exciting. It feels like they're doing what G2 used to do. G2 doesn't really do this anymore, where they have these, like, random, crazy one-off picks that then turn into almost, like, staples for them that you always have to keep in mind going forward into draft phase. And I think MDK are really embracing that identity, which is really cool. So that was the first, or sorry, technically that was the second series. I had them out of order on my list, but let's talk about now the first series of the weekend, then G2 versus BDS. Again, I will say, closer than we expected. We all pretty much had 3-0s. I had a 3-1 for G2, but again, BDS, man, they're making things interesting, and they made G2 reverse sweep this series. Mongoose, how many times has BDS been reverse swept?
Three
times. That is come on,
crazy.
Guys, what are we doing?
It's crazy. And the way that this series started off too, where BDS just came out, won game one pretty convincingly, and then game two was a little back and forth. And then into game three, BDS was feeling really good, and they were still kind of laughing, like, towards the end of the game. But game four started, and, like, BDS just started, like, you saw the smiles start to, like, slowly go away.
Yep.
G2 is still just laughing, having a fun time. So I think a lot of it is you could see, like, G2 been here before. They're like, we're down 2-0, so what? They still need to win another game and just come back out having fun and just kind of loose. And BDS sort of getting in their own heads a little bit towards the later part of the series.
If you're a BDS fan, just
avert
your
eyes. Dude, Ice tried his goddamn hardest to get them across that finish line. Hawk, I know that you're a fan of Ice as well and kind of how the teams looked. So what were your thoughts on the series?
Dude, BDS, they can't finish, man. They miss worlds off that series. I honestly have so little to say about it just because it was depressing. They look so good until they actually think they can win. someone just needs to tell BDS that the series is lost before it's over and they'll be the greatest team in the world. But instead they fumbled. I'm really sad for them, but also they kind of made their own bed, so I don't feel that bad. But, like, man.
Yeah.
It's tough. They have good early games. Honestly, good credit to, like, their coaching staff for putting together good early games with a team of players that I think, like, just individually should never be able to keep up with G2. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Except for game five.
Well,
game five, they didn't
but,
really
but by that point, you are shattered inside because it's happening again. Like, you already know you're cooked. So, you know, who cares
at
that point?
They just abused Nuke in that game five. That was not very fun to watch in the mid lane.
The, like, Ash arrow into Caps jumping in, yep. Flash ulting him back into the yep. rest of his team. And it's just, like, they're just feeling it. Like, you can just tell when G2 gets into that groove. And game five, they were already into it, like, from the start.
And the worst part is you look at the BDS draft in game five, and in my mind, I'm like, okay, Mundo, Maokai, Cassiopeia, Ezreal, Rakan. Just survive early game. And you will, like, win every team fight, right? You have such a beefy front line. Rakan's such a good engage tool with the Maokai to follow up. And then consistent DPS out of an Ezreal and a Cassiopeia if you can just keep people off of them. Which, really, it's only, like, a Cassante who's going to be threatening the backline. Maybe a Brand ultimate makes it back there. So did you survive the early game? And God, did they not survive that early game? Did not look good. So, unfortunately, BDS, always edgy, never finishing. They're bowing out of the 2024
They're even better
season.
Gooners than the team that's named after Gooning.
Yeah. Shout out to Tier 3. Okay. That was last weekend's games. Any final thoughts on that? G2, are we confident in them? Do we think that they looked good coming out of this series? What positives can we say about G2 from that weekend's performance, Mongoose?
When G2 gets into their groove, they're pretty much unstoppable. Like, I think once G2's feeling it and once they've like figured you out, they're just going to have fun and dismantle you like while they're like laughing at your dead corpse. So as long as you don't let G2 get into that groove and get into your heads, I think they are a very beatable team. I think we saw BDS just dismantle them in the first game. And I think you can do that as long as you don't let G2 find that groove, which it's hard to do. Not a lot of teams have done it, especially teams in the West, but it's possible.
Yeah, I think that G2, it's so hard to crush their mental. Almost impossible to crush their mental. And I think part of their performance in games 1 and 2 might have been the fact that they were locked for Worlds. Like, they're not really fighting for much other than seeding going into Worlds. So there's an argument that they might have wanted to just lose, just coast, to be like, all right, now we can like take a break and rest up before going to World Championships. But also dodging out on play-ins is probably ideal for them as well. So who knows what their motivation looks like going forward. But that means that their motivation will need to continue into next weekend, because we have LEC 2024 Finals Weekend. Up first, G2 versus MDK. Winner will advance and face on Fnatic. This is a rematch for MDK G2 of round one in the upper bracket, where MDK beat G2 3-2. And pretty hype matchup, honestly. I mean, again, MDK, they always make it interesting. The way that they beat them last time around was heavy emphasis on top lane draft choices. That this is where they brought out the Nidalee for the first time, and things like Lulu top lane, Smolder top lane. So they really threw a wrench in the G2 draft plan with all these flex picks. And I think that with the level of prep that they had against G2, the first time around, hopefully they can bring more stuff this time around. The problem being that G2 might be more ready for it now. So in terms of predictions, I have G2 taking it, but I have it a 3-2. I actually think they're still going to have to work for it pretty hard. And I think it's actually crazy that across the board, everybody else says G2 3-0. I'm going to need y'all to defend yourselves a little bit here, because G2 has had 5-game series back-to-back. One loss against MDK already. So, Mongoose, you start off. Why do you think G2 3-0?
I think they've already played MDK, and they've also had another 5-game series to watch of MDK, so they have a lot of film on them from just the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whenever they played that first game. So I think, you know, G2 coming into it is just going to have the better prep. I think MDK got the better of them in the first series, but MDK had how long to prep to play against G2, because they're like, we're going to be the last like seed going into it, or at least the last of like the upper, just because of how well they've done. So they knew G2 was probably going to be their opponent. So how long did they spend prepping for that? And how long did they get to watch G2? And no one saw MDK for weeks. So I think now G2 is just going to come back out and just do their normal thing. They seem to be feeling it. They just are back in the groove. And it's also G2. Like, it's hard to pick anyone but G2 when it's Europe.
It's easy to bet on them, that's for sure. Hawk, G2, do you echo the thoughts?
G2's going to clock in and win finals. If it's Fnatic, they're going to choke as they always do. And if it's MDK, I just don't think MDK like pulls one over on them again. You know, it happened once. It's not going to happen again.
All right. Well, I still have faith in MDK to at least bring us to a close series, but I think G2 should take it. So I have them 3-2. But that means that the finals, we all agree, would be Fnatic versus G2. So let's cover predictions there. Oh my god, Mongoose, you are so based. Okay, first up, everybody has 5 games. Bickle, who filled in his predictions, also has 5 games. Bickle has 3-2 G2. Hawk has 3-2 G2. Myself and Mongoose, The believers in Fnatic with a 3-2. I'm going to start, and then Mongoose, I want to hear yours, and then we'll let Hawk be the surprisingly only G2 defender on the pod, even though, I mean, they've won everything this year so far. This would be like the full sweep for them. But the reason I have it is that I really want it to happen. I really don't want G2 to just be that dominant for a whole year. And Fnatic, they've had so many chances, man. So many opportunities to beat G2, and they just can't do it. This would be cathartic. This would be I don't want to use the edging reference again because we just did it for BDS, but, you know, the sweet release at the end of the year. We'll just put it that way. Mongoose, what are your thoughts on it, though?
I think everyone just wants this to be a 5-game series.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone wants anything less. Every time Fnatic G2 play against each other, it's almost always fun, except for like the few times where G2's just 3-0'd them. But I think this matchup is going to come down to top lane. How visible are they going to be able to make BB into Oskarinen or Oscar? And I don't know. We'll see. I hope it's a 3-2. I would love to see Fnatic back on top again. But I think the safe bet is G2 as it's always been, but I don't know, something about Fnatic right now, just liking them.
So I realize I confused my series as well. G2 is going to blast Mad Lions because I've seen them before. Yeah. Okay. But in the finals, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I realize I got my stuff mixed up. G2 is going to clock in.
It still
kind
of made sense. They were going to have to beat MDK anyway. Yeah.
My stance this entire split on the pod, and I'm not intending on changing it, has been that until a team proves to me that they can beat G2, I will never believe that it can happen. And Fnatic has still not done that. I would like for Fnatic to win as well. I've always been a Fnatic fan. I have a Fnatic jacket in the closet behind me. I would love if they win, but until Fnatic actually does it, I'm not going to believe that they will.
What the hell is the 3-0 MDK then? They're the team that just beat G2. That wasn't proof that they could do it?
Legitimately think that was a ridiculous fluke.
What the hell is this logic?
Flukes 3 games out of G2.
Yeah, literally. Like, I still think MDK is a fake team. I mean, they took, yes, they beat G2 and they took Fnatic to 5 games, but like, fuck them. You know, like, G2's going to show up and they're going to take care of them. They've seen it before. Adjustments.
God, it'd be hilarious.
Also,
3-0 G2. How funny would like, that
be? It'd be so funny.
Steve, they're trying to beat... MDKs are going to try to beat G2 when they have the opportunity to make it a G2 Fnatic Finals. They stand no chance whatsoever in that series. Like,
that's true, yeah.
The gods of League will not allow MDK to make that series interesting, for G2 must roar into that Grand Finals.
That's a good point, that the script's pretty obvious for what's going to happen. But either way, you have G2 3-2 because of your reasoning that Fnatic have not shown the ability to beat G2 in a best-of-five series yet this year. And you know what? I can't discredit that because that's pretty sound. Fnatic just have not had the juice yet. And again, I really don't know which way I truly think this is going to go. I just picked Fnatic as my prediction just because... Again, I think that's a more exciting outcome to the end of the season, to deny G2 the full sweep of the year. But you never know what's going to happen. It'd be cool, yeah. But that's it for LEC, and we already wrapped up LCS. We are right at the end of the regular season, the regular year of games. We only have 2 more weeks before it's going to be Worlds Conversation times, where we start doing all the prep and the fun leading into the World Championships. So enjoy it while it lasts, everybody. LEC Finals, we will be doing a watch party on this weekend on Sunday. I plan to be there bright and early in the morning, so if you want to hop into the Discord, make sure, or feel free to join me, rather. I am not casting an ACL on Sunday, so that's actually a day off for me, which is ideal. Convenient for the calendar schedule, because we're also getting into LEC end of playoffs, so... NACL, what am I saying? Anyway, that's going to do it also for this episode. Wow, another fast one. I love how fast
we're
the playoffs
efficient.
Episodes
this
are
trio,
going.
Or well, I guess it was Steve. I guess it was Yumi and Lennon last week, wasn't it? But either
it
or no,
it was
Yumi
Bickle
and Bickle
last week. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
It was Bickle.
You're right. I'm confused again.
Hey, but we finished exactly when we said we would.
We did. I said on trivia! The back going in by 8:26 p.m. It's 8:25 p.m.
Guys, we're fucking on top of it.
Let's go. How can we waste five more minutes so that we go overtime?
Oh, man.
We could talk about LCK.
We could. You know what? We really didn't talk about that. All right. If you want to talk about LCK, come join the community Discord. Thank you so much. Also, five-star wherever you are listening to the podcast really helps us get noticed and get more exposure as we're trying to continue the podcast and also grow it going into next year, because it's a big change for LCS, and that's always a fun time to cover the news. But it's been a fantastic episode. Thank you so much for coming on, Mongoose and Hawk, and thank you, everybody, for listening along. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.